There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch, Jones, Dutch, Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello? Hello? Are you there?
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Stronghold Radio, the Dutch Jones radio program. We're live. It's March 2nd, 2011. March 2nd, 2011. It is a Wednesday, which means it's a Bible study night, so we're probably only going to do 1 hour because we have stuff we got to do for Bible study. And we are coming to you live. We had a great show yesterday. Hopefully you heard it. If you didn't, you can go catch it in the archives, thanks to Olima, who is our chief archivist, and just sent me out the list. And it's weird. Some shows have like hundreds of downloads for the archives and some don't. You pod people are really select. I don't know if you just want to listen to the latest or what. But it's a great, great gift that Olima has put out there for you guys. So thank you so much for doing that, Olima. And thank you for tuning in, pod people. To our Facebook fans, we no longer have a player embedded on Facebook, so they have to come over here, so we may have lost a few. I got to figure out how to embed this player onto Facebook, and honestly, we've just been having so many computer problems, I haven't gotten around to that yet. Even before the show right now, my computer's been locking up, and I couldn't even participate in the chat room. Lou, who's sitting right next to me on the other computer, his is doing fine, so I don't know. And we're hooked up exactly the same to the same router and everything, so it's something in the computer. Operating systems or something, so it's always a weirdness. Lou has been making DVDs today. Stacy will probably get them out tomorrow, those of you that have them coming to you for your donations last month. Split Second Survival, Restrepo, Savior, a couple things like that are coming your way, folks. So we thank you so much for your donations. We are paid up until the 15th of this month, which would be the 15th of March, which is 2 weeks from today. And so we thank you so very much. We always seem to be behind it. And today when we were doing our family budget, we're like, where'd all the money go? Well, like everybody else, it just doesn't buy as much. Today we went down to procure groceries, and we noticed that the large bags of oatmeal, we buy stuff in the bulk, and, you know, went up. We noticed that the Spam went up. We noticed that the chili and the beans and everything went up. The only thing that went down was, what's those drinks that you kids drink that we get for you loaded full of sugar? Capri Suns? Yeah, we poison our kids with Capri Sun, and those...
Pastor drinks them, too.
Pastor drinks Capri Suns, too? Okay, well, Pastor drinks them. I don't drink them because there's just too much sugar in them, and it would push me over the edge diabetes-wise. See, I just crashed, so I'm not in the chat room anymore. So, you guys... You know, look at it, it turned tan. It's like... It's, I don't know. So, if you say something interesting and Lou doesn't point my attention to it, don't take it personal. It's not that I'm ignoring you. It's just that I can't see it, so I can't make a comment on it. A lot of stuff in the news today. A lot of weirdness going on here. We had like a rash of shootings in Fresno again. I don't know how. It's like 2 to 3 people shot every day for like the last 4 days. A couple people killed. They've been catching child molesters. It's just Fresno is just one of the worst places to live in the world. I'm glad I don't live there. And I know we have a handful of listeners in Fresno, and we thank you for sticking it out, but you better come and start checking out our neck of the woods. I don't know how much longer you're going to be able to survive over there. It was just listed the third most toxic city in America after, like, Bakersfield, which is just south of us a few miles, and then someplace back east. I can't remember where it was, but Fresno constantly gets on the bottom. That's why they call it Fresno.
It's the most drunk city, too.
It's the most drunk city in America, too. And the UN is coming to a town near us, actually, because the people there complained to the UN which is weird, complained to the UN that their water was poisonous. So the UN is sending investigators to the what was it called? Stacy, help me out here. I know you're in the chat room down below. I forgot the name of the town, Cheryl or something like that. Seville. I actually have been to this town, and it's a little migrant illegal alien community. There's a school there, a migrant school, and a post office, and an old Armenian church is there that the Mexicans have taken over, and now I think it's a Catholic church. I fell asleep in the parking lot there one time when I was driving. I fell asleep. I said, Lou, you've got guard duty. Stay awake. So I dozed off for about 20 minutes. I woke up, and we were surrounded by like 30 immigrant laborers. And I'm like, Lou, why didn't you wake me up? He's like, I don't know. And we were like completely surrounded. They're all watching me snore, drinking their – it was the middle of the day, and they were drinking like 40s. And, you know, I had a pistol in my lap. I wasn't worried, but Seville's not a good place. So they contacted the UN, and now they're going to send people over here onto our property, American sovereignty, to listen to complaints from illegal aliens about how their water is poison. Huh. Because the comment from the UN was that every human being has a right to drinkable water. So they're just going to send investigators here. Now, if we were living in a real state, if this were Montana, what do you think would happen to those UN people when they got off the plane? But no, it's California, so they'll be embraced. And no, Lou didn't fall asleep. He stayed awake. At least I don't know if he fell asleep. Did you fall asleep when I was in Seville?
I don't think so.
He doesn't know. He falls asleep all the time. I think he's doing it so he never has to deal with it. So kind of weird there that Seville's bringing in the UN, which, of course, in California, why not? Interesting thing. I got an email from Swanson, and I got to find it here. The Southern Poverty Law Center came out with a list of dangerous groups and militias again, not people. This is different than their people list. Here it is. Active patriot groups in the United States in 2010, the Southern Poverty Law Center released its intelligence report for spring of 2011, and I went to California immediately, and I wasn't on it. I'm still disappointed, but other people I know are on it. The lovely little Gwen Bader, who has the Second Amendment. What's hers called? Let me find it here. Let me get it really quick here up. California, there are 31 dangerous patriotic and militia groups in California. And you come down here in the Second Amendment. Is it down at the bottom? Where was it? Second Amendment. Gwen Bader, the Second Amendment Committee in Hanford, California. They go to our church, so they're on there. Truth Radio, which hasn't been active since even before I got here. Truth Radio used to be a 50,000-watt radio station in the Central Valley area here that, you know, had Bo Greitz and Jack Lamb and all that stuff on there, Jack McLam or whatever. And they haven't been on the air in probably 7 to 10 years. In fact, they went on the Internet, and if you go to their website, it's not even a radio station. It's just archives. And, in fact, Liberty Radio Live, is that what we used to be on?
Yeah.
Was the offshoot of that. Nicholas used to work for Truth Radio, and then something happened and they split. And so they don't even have Nicholas on here, which is funny because they do have Hate Radio on there still. So Truth Radio and Delano was on there for California. And they listed all these militias that don't even exist. So I think what the Southern Poverty Law Center did is they went to some generic Google page and just cut and pasted. Because they listed all these militias that I know for a fact are now defunct because I've had contacts with them. But they listed things like, I love this. Those of you that listen to the show know that there's certain militias out there that are like one guy in his basement that has some cyber skills. They listed some of those. The California State Militia, 31st Field Forces. I know that guy, Brian, you know, he's doing his best. But he's not really a militia. They're not really doing anything. And they listed them on there. The Confederate States Home Guard, and as far as I can tell, they're only in the South, but they listed them in California. But get this one. The Constitution Party out of Riverside, they listed in California. The Constitution Party. That's Chuck Baldwin ran on that ticket. Freedom Force International, I don't know what that is, Freedom Law School, Guardians of the Free Republic. Then they had all these different militias here, like the Unorganized Militia, State of California. Their webpage hasn't been active since like 2001. There's been nothing updated on it. All the links are broken. The phone numbers you call, nothing goes to them. Oath Keepers. They listed Oath Keepers as a dangerous patriotic organization. We Are Change, which I think are the 9/11 truthers. They were listed on there, which is funny because they didn't list any. Now, there are real militias out there that are Nazis. Like, what's Pete Urban's group called?
NSM.
Well, there's the NSM, the National Socialist Movement or whatever. Coalition of Patriots is not there. There's all these groups that are legitimate menaces to society, but they don't list them, and they list things that don't even exist anymore. Like the Freedom Law School in Phelan. The Freedom Law School goes around teaching people about the Constitution. Now, there's one here, the Free Enterprise Society. I looked that up. That was pretty good. Guardians of the Free Republics. I don't even know what they are. Educate Yourself in Costa Mesa. It's just a free law place. They have the Independent Party of California, which our pastor is the chaplain for, the Independent Party. And they list it as a dangerous patriotic group. The American Independent Party, that's what it was, in out of Vacaville. The American Armenian Militia, they list it as a dangerous militia. And I don't know if Swanson's listening or not. I can't see everybody that's in the chat room. But that is just hilarious that they list these militias that either don't exist or don't do anything. And I can't believe for another year we're not on there. I actually sent them an email saying, what are you guys doing? And I'm like, I know you listen to our website. I know for a fact that you listen to us, you check us out, you look at us, and all this stuff's going on, but you don't even have the decency to list us. Now, two things. Maybe they don't want me to know they know I know. Huh? Maybe they don't want me to know they know I know they're listening or something like that. Or maybe because we're telling the truth, they figure, no, that's not it. That can't be it. It's got to be this. I don't have any money. They've done background checks on me before. They've called the church and threatened to out me to my pastor. And the pastor's like, so what? When they did a property search, asset search, I had no money. That's why the Southern Poverty Law Center isn't going at me. The rest of the other things you see posted on there, they're fluff. It's to make their donors make it look like they're doing something. And all they're doing is Google searches and posting the stuff. There is no Confederate States militia in California. Trust me, if there was, I would know about it because I spend hours looking for other militia groups to train and fellowship with. They didn't list the guys out of San Diego, the Pete Urban group, the Nazis, the scumbags. They didn't list them. And they're doing stuff. They're running guns and God knows what around the border. And they didn't list them. And they didn't list us, a real militia, because we didn't have any assets for them to seize. Weird, huh? Just goes to show you the Southern Poverty Law Center is nothing. They're just money-hungry money-grubbing lawyers who will only list things to make themselves look like, hey, this is what we're monitoring. They didn't monitor any of the skinhead militias that are in this area, and there are. There are skinhead militias in our area. I've seen them. I've met with them. I've talked to them. Yeah, I'm a little jealous that I didn't get listed, but I know why. I know what the truth is. Southern Perversion Law Center has nothing to do with really protecting the downtrodden, because that's the real role of the militia, isn't it? We real militia types, we real patriotic types, whether we're alone in a basement, you know, reloading our ammo and reading the Constitution and reading the Bible, what we really all are about is protecting the innocent, not the Southern Poverty Law Center. Stop laughing at me. Oh, yeah, there's Swanson. Thanks, Swanson, for sending me that. I posted it. I think I reposted it, or you posted it on my page or whatever, but I just can't believe that. And if they were going to list gun runners, they need to list the ATF, and that's something I want to talk about. I still got time here, right? Yeah, I do. Yeah. Just above that, if you're on my Facebook page, and if you haven't already checked us out, go to Facebook.com and check out search for Dutch Jones. The ATF is, in my opinion, being paid by drug runners to supply weapons to the drug cartels. There's no doubt in my mind now after this story came out. What the ATF will do, and you got to remember that I've worked with the ATF because I was with the fire department in a Southern California city, and we were on the joint task force with the ATF, Department of Justice, all the stuff for destructive devices and things like that. Whoa, what was that? Well, that was really weird. Well, the phones must be, like, wet or something. They ring. I don't know. And we're not going to answer that phone. We're going to use the other phone line when it comes time to take calls. But they'll watch gun shops. They'll put people undercover, and they'll watch for, like, straw man purchases, somebody coming in and buying 15, 20 guns at a time, which is really hard to do in California because there's a limit. But I've actually done undercover work and surveillance work on this task force where, we, you know, if you see a gangbanger go in and he buys five SKSs, you follow him home and you see what he does with them, and when he distributes them, they bust them. Well, what's been going on in the last few years is they're letting guys, and I've got the article here, and I'm not even going to read from it, but it's an article on CBSNews.com, CBSNews.com, gun running scandal uncovered at the ATF, CBS Evening News. The higher-ups are allowing these scumbags from Mexico to come into Texas and Arizona and buy as many as 1,000 guns, 1,000 AK-47s and pistols and AR-15s. And when the ATF agents are like, please, let us bust them, let us bust them. They're taking the guns. They're going. They're leaving. They're buying the guns. They've got 1,000 guns. They're leaving. The higher-ups saying, no, no, let's just let it go. Just forget about it. Let it go. And some of these ATF agents that have spoken out are saying they found two of those such rifles last month at the shooting of that ATF agent that was killed in a shootout. They found them. The serial numbers are traced back to active cases that the ATF said, just let the guns go. Just let the guns go. So meanwhile, while they're kicking in doors and bugging people for having, you know, too much gunpowder in Southern California, they're letting thousands and thousands of semi-automatic rifles, including 50 caliber Barretts, go south of the border. Their logic at first was saying, well, let's trace it. It's a bigger case. Let's just deal with the little fish. You know how they do it. You see it in all the shows. We're going to see where they go. And they're really not tracking them. They're just letting them walk across the border. And the gun licensees that are selling them are like, hey, I got a guy here. He just bought 35 AK-47s. His name's Carlos the Beast Gutierrez or something. Please come down here and bust him. No, just go ahead and sell them to him. Clear him. But on our computer, it says that his name is on the no-sell list. Go ahead and give them to him. Just give them to him. And then they're expecting the ATF to, like, bust these guys later, and they're not. They're letting them transport the guns. That tells me two things. Two things. One, the head of the ATF is incredibly stupid, or the second thing is they're being paid off. The rank-and-file guys that were interviewed in this story at CBS.com are furious. Furious. And they would say things like, well, how are you going to feel when an American agent... I would say, how do you feel when an American citizen is going to be killed with one of these guns? And they're like, no, just let it go. Let it go. You know? And so when they're blaming you and I for going to Walmart and buying, you know, an over-under shotgun, saying we're adding to the problem because we're letting Mexicans take them... The whole time they knew what they were doing. And I'm surprised CBS uncovered this. I really am. I'm going to try and click on the article, but I'm afraid it might knock me off the internet. I don't trust this computer anymore. But it infuriated me to see that. But I can't believe CBS actually went ahead with the story. Somebody messed up. Somebody in the Obongo administration wasn't watching CBS when that came through. You know, they have the administration has its little, I don't know if it's going to even show it. We'll have their little sensors there. And it's actually a gun-running scandal. Keeping American weapons from getting in the hands of Mexican gangs is the goal of a program called Project Gunrunner. But critics say it's doing exactly the opposite. Now, CBS News investigative correspondent Cheryl Atkinson reports on what she found. December 14, 2010, The Place, a dangerous smuggling route in Arizona, not far from the border. A special tactical border squad was on patrol when gunfire broke out and Agent Brian Terry was killed. Kent, Brian's brother, says he was my only brother. That was the only brother I had. I'm lost. Now, the assault rifle found at the murder scene were traced back to a U.S. gun shop. Now, we all heard that in the news, didn't we? I remember hearing that news. They're traced to a gun shop in the U.S., and that's what they left it at, but here's the truth behind it. Where they came from and how they got there is a scandal so large, some insiders say it surpasses the shootout at Ruby Ridge and the deadly siege at Waco. So at least those two incidents come up showing that the ATF is corrupt. And this reporter, whoever she is, she'll probably be on the street tomorrow or dead in a dumpster. But she brought those up in a story showing that the ATF is evil and vile. To understand why, it helps to know something about Project Gunrunner, an operation run by the ATF, the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, tobacco and firearms, the bat fags. Project Gunrunner developed new teams of agents in the southwest border area. The idea was to stop the flow of weapons from U.S. to Mexico drug cartels. But in practice, sources tell CBS News, the ATF's actions had the opposite result. They allegedly facilitated the delivery of thousands of guns into criminal hands. CBS News wanted to ask the ATF officials about this case, but they wouldn't agree to an interview. Well, no kidding. We were able to speak to six ATF agents and executives involved. They don't want to be quoted by name for fear of retaliation. Yeah, they'll end up dead. These are their allegations that follow. Now, in late 2009, ATF was alerted by suspicious buys at seven gun shops in the Phoenix area. Suspicious because the buyers paid cash, sometimes brought into the store in paper bags, as they purchased classic weapons of choice used by Mexican drug traffickers, semi-automatic versions of military-type rifles and pistols. Sources tell CBS several gun shops wanted to stop the questionable sales, but the ATF administration encouraged them to continue. This is what I was talking about. They'd call and say, hey, we got a guy that's flagged, but, you know, what should we do? Well, go ahead and give him the guns. Jaime Avila was one of the suspicious buyers. The ATF put him on its suspect database in January of 2010. For the next year, the ATF sat back and watched as Jaime Avila and other suspects bought huge quantities of weapons, supposedly for personal use. They include in one purchase 575 AK-47-type semi-automatic rifles. 575. When's the last time anyone listening to the sound of my voice went in and bought 575 any kind of firearm? ATF managers allegedly made a controversial decision. Allow most of the weapons on the street. The idea, they said, was to gather intelligence and to see where the guns ended up. Insiders say it's a dangerous tactic called letting the guns walk. One agent called this strategy insane. Another said, we were fully aware these guns would probably be moved across the border to drug cartels where they could be used to kill. On the phone, one Project Gunrunner source, who does not want to be identified, told us just how many guns flooded the black market under ATF's watchful eye. The numbers are somewhere over 2,500 guns in that case, by the way. That's just the Avila case, 2,500 guns. That's how many guns were sold, including 50 calibers that they let walk out the door. Now, the 50 caliber weapons are fearsome. This is the article speaking. For months, ATF agents followed 50 caliber Barrett rifles and other guns believed headed to the Mexican border, but were ordered to let them cross. One distraught agent was often overheard on ATF radios begging and pleading to be allowed to intercept and arrest the smugglers. The answer was always negative, stand down. Are you mad yet? I was furious reading this. CBS News has been told that at least 11 ATF agents and senior managers voiced fierce opposition to the strategy, and it got ugly, said one. There was screaming and yelling, says another. A third warned, this is crazy, someone's going to get killed. See, they want to inflate the conflict, this is me speaking, in Mexico. So our government is actively arming the drug cartels. We're actively arming the military and police down there too, so why not the drug cartels? We always, always, always play both sides. We always do. Why should this be any different? I just can't believe we're finding this out from CBS instead of, you know, some underground news source. Sure enough, the weapons soon began surfacing at crime scenes in Mexico. This is going to make Mexican government officials mad unless they're in on it. Dozens of them, sources say, including shootouts with government officials. One agent argued that with a superior asking, are you prepared to go to the funeral of a federal officer killed with one of these guns? Another said every time they were out on a shooting near the border, we would all hold our breath, hoping that it wasn't one of our guns, referring to the ones that they let through. Then Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was murdered. The serial numbers on the two assault rifles found at the murder scene matched two rifles ATF agents watched Jaime Avila buy in Phoenix nearly a year before. Now, officials won't answer whether the bullet that killed Terry came from one of those guns or not. To me, it doesn't matter. But the nightmare had come true. Guns that had been allowed to walk across the border turned up at a federal agent's murder. You feel like S blank You feel for the parents, said one ATF veteran who spoke to them on anonymity, conditions of anonymity. Hours after Agent Terry was gunned down, the ATF finally arrested Avila. They've since indicted 34 suspected gunrunners in the same group, but the indictment makes no mention of Terry's murder, and no one is charged with that agent's death. Kent Terry said to his brother, he'd want them to tell the truth. That's one thing my brother didn't like, was a liar. And that's what he'd want. He'd want the truth. In a letter, the Justice Department, which oversees the ATF, says the agency has never knowingly allowed the sale of an assault weapon to go to suspected gunrunners. So they're lying. They're lying about it. There'll be radio. They'll destroy all the evidence. They'll discredit these dozen or so agents. And it'll get covered up. It'll get covered up. You and I know the truth. You and I know that our own government agencies are working both ends against the middle. That they need to have gun violence in Mexico so they can continue to take away our guns here. So what does that tell you? That tells you that we are in a righteous, holy war against evil. Because when our own government agencies, I mean, they invoked, I didn't even bring it up, they brought it up. Ruby Ridge and Waco. Evil, vile, disgusting ATF agents. Now, granted, there are a dozen or so that are good, that are screaming about this. But they're not screaming because of the implications on the Second Amendment issues or that American citizens may have been killed with those guns. No. They said, do you want one of our own agents to, you know, be killed with one of these guns? So I'm not going to give them a go on this either. I've worked with ATF agents. I've done surveillance with ATF agents. I've put surveillance equipment into cells and cars and things for the ATF when I worked for the fire department on loan. They're not the good guys. There may be one or two that I liked, but I don't trust them, and I sure as heck don't respect them. Well, here we go. We're going to take a break right now. I'm waiting for Lewis to play the music. Your clock's about 1 second behind mine. We're going to be back after the break. Remember, we're only doing an hour today because we got Bible study tonight, and I need to get into the frame of mind for Bible study. When I go to Bible study after doing this show, I can't concentrate, and I'm doing it for me. I know it's selfish, but you know that's the way we do it. So check out DutchJones.info. Remember, let's get ahead on the donations, folks. I got a call today from Minuteman. He's already sending his in for the next payment. It really helps us if you give it to us in advance because we'll just pay in advance. And that way we won't have to bug you guys. And if you'd like to get a copy of Restrepo, Split Second Survival or something, you send in a donation of $25 or more. We'll send you a set of video. One disc with stuff on it. Don't forget that. And if we forget to send it to you, ring our bell. We need to know. We're busy here, and we don't mean to forget. But if we owe you a video, let us know. Drop us an email. And if you stop donating because you said, hey, I donated and I didn't get squat, well, shame on you for doing it just for the donation. But let us know, and we'll make it right. We promise, because we need your donations to keep going. If we've got 10,000 people hitting our site, we should be generating more than $200 a month, and we should be able to send out transmitters to everybody that's listening so they can retransmit. If we got 10,000 people, that means five of you are carrying it for 9,995 people. That's ridiculous. If you haven't donated, donate. If you've already donated, God bless you. We'll be right back. While they protect us all of our lives, we'll trust in God to keep our power dry. Should the tide shift against, we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Hold the young to those who try to confiscate our guns, as written in the Second Amendment for the security of a free state. A well-regulated militia is needed to keep our country safe. That right can't be infringed upon. Our founders have foreseen. When the people fear government, you know it's called tyranny. Progressives, they want to change our country under the guise of making it fair. We know it's all about control. It's just an act when they say they care. Now the warning shots have been fired. The battle has just begun. Through all those secret backdoor deals, they are aiming for our guns.
or die. We're united to defend our freedom. We'll trust in God but keep our powder dry. Should the tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Oh, be unto those who try to confiscate our guns. Just as a faithful forum swears a solemn creed in defense of this great nation, stand his rifle and he. We are all obliged to defend her, our Constitution decrees. We will stand as one, united against foreign and domestic enemies. Like poor men know their rifles, for them it's live free or die. We're united to defend our freedom. We'll trust in God to keep our powder dry. Should the tide shift against we the people, you can bet this battle hymn will be sung. Oh, be unto those who try to confiscate our guns. There'll be no mercy for the fool who tries to confiscate my guns. Oh, yeah.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. Like the bumper music. We're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program coming to you live. That's my radio voice. From Camp Kawea, nestled here in the center of California, the middle, smack dab in the middle where the belly button would go, in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, right outside the front gates of Sequoia National Park. We come to you Monday through Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. when we can, but sometimes just, excuse me, from 5 to 7 p.m., but sometimes just from 5 to 6 p.m. Just posted something in the chat room. That came from El Doctor. And also, Warland came up with a new one. The same person that brought us Scumminess has brought us Mosadamites. Mosadamites. Mosadimites. I like that. As in the Jewish lobby, the Mossad, the hired killers of Israel, and Sodomites together. They control the media. They're part of the New World Order. And that's it there. So, we're bringing you the Christian Militant Separatist Worldview. Oh boy, the title's getting longer. And that is not a white separatist. We're not racial separatists. All we care is that you're a Christian and that you're a warrior for Christ and that you are not a milquetoast Christian. You're not sitting on your hands. That you're standing in the gap. You're doing what you need to do to push the full crown rights of Jesus Christ. Boy, that last story about the ATF really made me furious. I read it the hour before I came on the air, and it just, knowing, and how many of those weapons filter back up to the street gangs in L.A., I talked about all the shootings in Fresno, you know, using AK-47 stuff to do drive-bys in Fresno and L.A., and all over the state, all over the country. It's not just California. So the ATF is handing those weapons out, letting it happen. So check that out at CBS.com. Don't believe me. Go read it. I got another article here that surprised me. Now, having been in the United States Army, I remember the basic physical fitness test. At first, I remember when I got off the bus, they made me do 13 push-ups. And I guess if I couldn't do 13 push-ups, they're going to send me to a remedial physical fitness training. That's where they sent the fat boys and the skinny boys. And they came back about 3 weeks later. I don't know what they did to them in 3 weeks, but most of them made it through. But this is back in the 80s when, you know, we didn't have as strict a physical fitness requirements as they have now. But the test hasn't changed. You do 13 push-ups to get in and then to pass, depending on your age. Like, I think for my age group, you know, because remember, I was 17 and a half. I had to do a certain number of setups in 2 minutes, a certain number of push-ups in 2 minutes, and then run 2 miles, a mile out and a mile back. And I think it was in under 12 minutes. I'm pretty sure it was like 12-something. And later, as I got older, that went up. And I think when I got out, it was I had to run 2 miles in 14-something. And I had to be able to do so many sit-ups and push-ups. I think it was like 37 push-ups in 2 minutes. And like 79 sit-ups in 2 minutes or something like that. Well, they're realizing, and rightly so, that isn't a really good test for combat suitability for anyone. Now, they made us run through obstacle courses, but every time that we ran, and you got to realize in the 80s, we weren't allowed to run in combat boots. They made us buy PT uniforms. They were gray sweats, said U.S. Army on them. Military police, whatever, and we had to buy certain kinds of tennis shoes, certain colors they told us to buy. And we would do the obstacle course in PT uniforms. And then towards the end, in AIT and advanced training, then we got to wear our BDUs, but we weren't really running at that point, so we weren't running in boots. We were climbing over stuff and jumping. But we never had a full combat load on when we did it. Never, never. In the obstacle course, do we have a full combat load? Never did we have to move human beings. I mean, they had certain drills, like removing a wounded, you know, battle buddy from the field and stuff, and how to do that, where you grab them by their H harness and drag them, you know, that kind of stuff, or their Y harness. But when you looked at other militaries, and even like Al Qaeda, you know, you see them doing stuff with their weapons in hand, full battle gear, you know, they got their little, you know, load bearing equipment on. They're running on balance beams or jumping over flaming, you know, pools of oil that are on fire. Spetsnaz, the stuff we've seen in the Spetsnaz training videos. Very, very combat-oriented training for their physical fitness. Well, they finally come up with a new test. And it's been 30 years in the, you know, before they realize this. It's ridiculous to me. Granted, a guy like me wouldn't pass it. I know I wouldn't pass it. I wouldn't even pass the one that I had to pass. You know, I don't even know if I could do 13 push-ups right now, to be honest with you, but I'm working on it. But for our video game trained generations that are now being called into the military, and, you know, they don't have a draft yet, but, well, trust me, there will be soon. The couch potatoes of America, they're just not doing it. So they're coming up with some different things. So Army's new fitness test, add taste of battlefield. And this, I actually like this. I think the Army should be doing this. Sit-ups don't make a soldier. The Army has decided. So its 30-year-old fitness requirements are getting a battlefield-inspired makeover. Soon every soldier will have to run on a balance beam with 2 30-pound canisters of ammunition, drag a sled weighted with 180 pounds of sandbags, and vault over obstacles while carrying a rifle. Now, I know the reason they didn't let us do it was safety. They didn't want us to jab out an eyeball or break our rifle, but now they're going to let them do it. Those were just some of the tests the Army unveiled Tuesday as it moves towards making its physical training look more like combat. Right now, soldiers have to complete sit-ups and push-ups and a 2-mile run twice a year within times that vary by age and gender, said Lieutenant General Mark Hertling, the general in charge of the Army's initial military training. He's been working to change the test for years now. Said this current test does not the current test that they're held under, not the new one, does not adequately measure components of strength, endurance, or mobility, or predict how well a soldier will do under fire. No. Balance, coordination, running sit-ups and push-ups do not test that. And I can tell you, when I went in 83 as a 17-and-a-half-year-old, I can tell you half the people in my group probably wouldn't have been able to do the test that I just told you, running across a balance beam with 60 pounds of ammo. I don't think they would have been able to do it. Now, a new annual combat readiness test include running 400 meters, about a quarter mile, with a rifle, moving through an obstacle course in full combat gear, and crawling and vaulting over obstacles while aiming a rifle. I love that. Now, you may go 400 meters. Let me tell you something. Fighting a battle is not a 2-mile sprint. That means you're force marching somewhere. If you're running for 2 miles straight, you're not on a battlefield. So I like this. 400-meter spurts, maybe. You know, that's still a long way to move on a battlefield. But the vaulting, aiming a rifle, making sure you have to maintain where your weapon is, All the other armed forces of the world that are serious do this. Our enemies do this, so why don't we? Soldiers will also have to run on a balance beam while carrying 30-pound boxes of ammo to do an agility sprint around a course of cones in a field. Okay, cones aren't that dangerous. Soldiers also will have to drag sleds weighed with sandbags to test their ability to pull a fallen comrade from the battlefield. There's a big difference between a sled and a guy wearing full tactical equipment. A guy with a vest on, the back of that vest is going to act like a bulldozer and drag in the sand. I think they should have to drag each other, but, you know. The combat test might be given before deployments as well as annually, but that has not been decided yet. The Army will keep elements of the old assessment in physical readiness test, which adds such things as a 60-yard shuttle run and a standing long jump to 1 minute of push-ups and a 1.5-mile timed run. That might be given every 6 months, said Frank Poloska, head of the Army's physical fitness school at Fort Jackson. Now, Hertling said trials of the new program are starting this month at 8 bases, and the plan could be adopted Army-wide after reviews later this year. I think this is a great idea. I think as realistic as we can get the movements, the mechanics, the body mechanics to what these young soldiers are really going to be doing, I think it's a great idea. And I know we're militia, and I know we're not regular Army, but you might want to pay attention to this as some of the tasks that you weave into your training. I know we're going to build about a 160-pound sand dummy here for people to drag. Now, not everybody's going to be able to drag it. In fact, when I drag it, I may wet myself when I pop my spine out of place, but I'm going to try. I'd rather know now what I can and can't do than when, you know, the rounds are firing. Now, soldiers, the guinea pigs for this, who ran the proposed combat readiness portion of the test today, told reporters the exercises were tough even for the ones that were combat veterans. Wearing a battle helmet and carrying a rifle, Staff Sergeant Timothy Schoenfeld teetered as he trod the balance beam holding ammo tins in each hand. His pace slowed a bit as he dragged the green sled behind him, then held his M4 ready as he strode sideways through the point, move, aim portion of the test. Now, I have a feeling what this is, it's going to look a lot like the lines at Disneyland. It's going to be the, you know, how you line up and it zigzags. Think about having to move sideways through obstacles like that while maintaining your muzzle control at a simulated enemy. I think that's a great drill. This guy said, this is what Sergeant Schoenfeld said, "My quads are on fire," the 31-year-old from Indiana, Pennsylvania said afterward. "It really made me breathe hard and challenged a lot of muscle groups." Now, wheeled vehicle mechanic and Sergeant First Class Cornelius Trammell, 33, of Eufaula, Alabama, said it will be important for all soldiers to go through this test, even if their jobs are behind desks. He laughed when reporters commented on how his face was all sweaty. "You never know when you might need it, whether you're in the infantry or if you're a mechanic," said Trammell, who had been deployed 3 times already. Now, the test will be given to all soldiers and officers, including the reserves and the National Guard, even those recalled soldiers who are now over 60. Think about that. Now, remember, when I got recalled for Desert Storm 2, I went down to the MEP station in L.A., and there was a 60-year-old cosmetic surgeon there who was a doctor in the Ready Reserves, 60 years old. They do call back 60-year-olds. Specific gender and age standards are still being worked out, Polkowska said. "That's what I want to know about. This is really stressing upper body strength. What about the women? You know, because they want to put women in combat. This may blow up in their face. It doesn't say anything about that in the article, but trust me, when women start to fail this test, and they will, not that there aren't a few women out there that are going to do great and a lot of men that are going to fail it, but overall, the women are going to fail this test. Now, the shift follows other Army efforts to overhaul training, improve diets, and help older soldiers keep fit. Hertling said the Army is trying to better prepare soldiers for the 40 to 70 pounds of weapons and body armor many of them may carry in Afghanistan and Iraq. That's realistic. Every time a vet tells me he was carrying 200 pounds of gear on his back, I just want to walk away. 40 to 70 is more realistic. Soldiers like to be challenged. This will definitely challenge them, Hertling said. The Army also is hoping to reduce injuries, both in the field and from repetitive exercises. That's true. Most people are injured in the exercising than in the actual playing of games. If you look at, like, soccer or football, most of the injuries are in the practice. Man, my computer just reset again. Dang it. This is about training smarter, not just training more, General Hertling said. Staff Sergeant Danica Foster, female, 28, of Brooklyn, New York, who pumped through a shuttle run and did push-ups for the physical readiness section, said the new test will require soldiers to work on their upper body strength. Female soldiers will have to work harder to get them done, she said. I honestly believe, though, if I can do this, anybody can, she said with a laugh. It keeps resetting. I think that's about it. Besides Fort Jackson, the program will be tested at Fort Leonard Wood, Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Sill, Oklahoma. They have to say Oklahoma. Fort Bliss, Texas, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, Fort Lewis, Washington, and at the Army's Military Academy of West Point. So interesting that they're focusing more and more on the physical fitness of their soldiers. I'm beginning to think that maybe they're a little bit afraid of the readiness of their people now, their 1.2 million or whatever they have in uniform, because basically they're a reflection of the general population. I've watched a lot of videos, and the NCOs and above are not in the greatest shape in the non-combat units. They're having all kinds of problems with diabetes and things in the regular military now. And their guard units are not keeping up their physical fitness ratings. They're not. A lot of National Guard units that get activated go with 20% of their people missing because they can't pass the physical fitness test, and they get recycled or threatened or kicked out. I don't know about reserve units. I don't know of any reserve units in the area. But it sounds so. Warland's saying, I'm not sure Jedi training is for me. Yeah, I mean, if they're doing the Jedi training, but I was thinking it's more of a mixture of fake ninja training and Spetsnaz and like Karate Kid stuff, you know, balance oriented. But let me tell you something. Think about it. That is really task oriented physical fitness training. If I know I'm going to be up on the hill in an LPOP and I need somebody to run me up cans of ammunition. Well, they better practice running with cans of ammunition up and down the trail. Or if I know that if I get shot, Lewis, there's no way in the world he's going to carry my 250-pound, you know, fat butt. One, that motivates me to lose more, and it motivates Lou to be stronger. So I'm not saying that, there's no spiritual fitness test. Great one, I see freedom. Yeah, they're not talking about their moral capabilities or their social awareness or their understanding of the history of this nation. But at least they're realizing that their guys. I mean, if you watch Restrepo, those of you that are going to get it or have already seen it, the guys are climbing through the mountains of Afghanistan. They're huffing, they're puffing, they're standing up so they can breathe. And you'll hear people like, "You there? If you're standing up, you're wrong because you know you're giving yourself a target of opportunity to the enemy, offering yourself up." And physical fitness is a huge thing, and our Army's worried about it. Our military's worried about it. I got a kind of a weird story here. It's a short one. I think it's California. Yeah, I'm not even going to precurse this, but it file this one under out of control, tender little feelings of students. And why do our students have cell phones in school? Now, teacher rattles table in class to get attention. Student calls 911. This is in Atherton, California. I don't know where it is. Atherton somewhere. A California school teacher was placed on paid administrative leave after he rattled a table to get the attention of his math students, startling an eighth grade girl who used her cell phone to call the police. Atherton Police Sergeant Tim Lynch tells the Palo Alto, so it's near Palo Alto somewhere, Daily News that officers went to Selby Lane School Tuesday afternoon because of reports a teacher was causing a disturbance. Officers found a comm teacher with a classroom in session. The sergeant says the teacher's table rattling startled a student, and she used her cell phone to call 911. He says the students in the class weren't bothered by the teacher's actions. Redwood City School District Deputy Superintendent John Baker says the teacher was placed on leave simply because there was a police response to his classroom. Now, this says a lot of things. It's just a symbol of so much that's wrong. One, you know, the teacher's trying to teach, and I'm not a big fan of public school. So he shakes the table. Probably picked it up off the ground, slammed it down, rattled around, said, "Pay attention, I'm trying to teach you something here." Nothing different than I would do in any one of my training sessions with adults. And yet some eighth grade pinheaded girl breaks out her cell phone, calls 911, and goes, "Please help me. There's a teacher threatening me with a table. He's gone nuts." Now, one, the emotional state of the student needs to be evaluated. Number two, what is she doing with a cell phone in school? Number three, why would they suspend this guy when the cops even said it doesn't look like anything's wrong? This is ridiculous. Zero tolerance in schools. You were always hearing the other end of it where kids get sent home because they bring a plastic butter knife to spread peanut butter with, or they have their Boy Scout knife in the trunk of their car and they get suspended. But this teacher gets suspended. I said, this is a teacher taking a proactive stance to get his students to pay attention. He's got a retard in there who calls 911. Now, think about it. And this is, you know, it's a short story, but I'm going to tell you some stories about ways that teachers got my attention. Mr. McMahon, my history teacher in the eighth grade. I'll start there since this is an eighth grade student. I sat in the back and was gabbing my head off to this girl, Denise Shepherd, that I liked. He picked up an eraser, a chalk eraser, and with great precision threw it from the front of the room with much force and nailed me right in the temple with it. Boom, poof. It didn't feel good. It was an eraser with a wooden back. It hurt. I'd seen him do it before to other students. I've even seen him raise a welt and draw blood on other students. But you know what I did when he did that? Did I run out screaming? Did I find the payphone out in the lobby and call? No, I shut up and I paid attention, and everybody shamed me by laughing at me because I was a dork. Because I was talking when I was told to pay attention. He's long since died, but I've thanked him often for that later on in my life, because I didn't get that kind of discipline at home. I had a Mr. Goodwin who was our PE teacher. And I was a crack up. I'd always tell jokes and not pay attention. I was a squirrely little kid, 114 pounds. Freshman PE. I can't remember what I was doing, to be honest with you. I wasn't listening. I was misusing equipment or something. Now, this guy, he was about my height. You know, at that time, I think I was 5'6". He was about 5'6", but built like a fire plug. He came over and put me in a wrestling hold and pretty much knocked me out because I was being a smartass to him. I remember doing that. I remember saying something to him. So that's how good it was. I forgot what I was doing, and I remembered. I didn't go tell my dad to beat his butt. I didn't call a lawyer. I took my punishment. I straightened up. I saw one time in high school, and of course this was related to the illegal alien students that we had, a group of illegal alien students pulled up from another school, a group of our illegal alien students, and they got into a knife fight. Our teachers went out there. I remember the science teacher, the biology teacher, and the sociology teacher, and I won't give their names because they'd get in trouble today if anybody found out. They went out, and when knives were pulled by the opposing students that came, they kicked butt. I found out afterwards that our biology teacher was like a fourth-degree black belt in Taekwondo. I found out that our sociology teacher was a Vietnam vet. And I found out that our science teacher was a reserve police officer with the sheriff, and I didn't know that. They literally took the knives away from these four or five students and punched them in the face, dislocated shoulders, did all kinds of things, and then sat on them till the cops got there. We didn't have a school resource officer. Bloodied these kids. Now, granted, you know, they were, you know, I thought it would have been funny if they just let the illegal aliens stab each other, but that's for another, you know, that says more about me than the teachers. All the time, stuff like that. All the time. I remember when I was a freshman, I don't even know who the senior student was. They searched his locker, and they found a bunch of drugs in there, and he started to throw a fit and tried to get away, and the principal cold-cocked him. Mr. Jimenez. Manuel Jimenez was his name. Cold-cocked this guy and put him on the ground and put him in an arm bar. Because this student just got completely nuts and unruly because they'd found, I think it was cocaine or something in his locker. You got to realize this is like 79, 80, right around there. There were still hippies in school, even in a small town like ours. I got paddled. I remember I got paddled in the seventh grade for mooning people from my school bus. We're coming back from a... And don't do any of this, Lou. Not that you'll ever ride a school bus. I got paddled. I got like 10 whops for putting my butt against the back window. And the lady in the back, of course, it said the name of our school on the side. And who else is going to Denver to go to the Lazarium, to the Natural History Museum? So it was obvious, and everybody knew. It was, you know, everybody snitched me out. Oh, it was that kid. It was DJ. He's always doing stuff like that. He's kind of known for it. It's a thing he does. He likes to moon people. I mean, I know I lived in a small town in the middle of Colorado, but I remember having problems with other kids, and the principal just saying, okay, drag us out to the baseball field, the football field, the park next to school, and say, you two duke it out. I don't want any more of this. I don't want you, you know, anymore. You guys duke it out, shake hands when you're done. And this was the 80s, folks. I'm not an old fuddy-duddy. I'm 45 years old. But now this kid is calling 911 because a teacher uses a nonviolent way, just shaking a table, saying, hey, listen up. I had another teacher, Mr. McClure, another history teacher. I think he was ninth grade history. I remember I was standing in lunch line and I was doing something. I think I swore. I think I dropped an F-bomb. He came up and did a nerve pinch on my neck that dropped me to the floor. And then he took me and he says, you're not eating lunch today, young man. We don't use that kind of language here at our school. And I sat in the principal's office for lunch and didn't get to eat that day. What do you think would happen now if a World War II vet, he was a World War II vet, did that to some young loudmouth punk in a school? Now, because we don't do that anymore, because they won't allow him to do it anymore, that's why we are the way we are. That's why there were three homicides in Fresno in the last 3 days and multiple shootings. I'm not saying you let teachers wail on kids. You don't let teachers do weird stuff. But I'm saying there's no discipline in America anymore. And it's in the youth. And these kids lose age are going to grow up and destroy what little bit is left after this generation gets done with it. Man, I wish, you know, maybe we'll do a story or a day where you guys just call in and talk about times you got your butt whooped by an authority figure and what you did and what you thought of it now looking back, you know. My stepdad dragging me by the ear from the local convenience store when it's after dark and I'm supposed to be home. You know, Child Protective Services would be called now. Me and my brother fighting while we're supposed to be going to bed, but we're beating the tar out of each other. My dad takes us, throws us out in our underwear, sub-zero weather, and says, run around the house. You'll come in when I'm tired. And it's sub-zero. We're literally in little, there were these little zip-up footy pajamas, like from A Christmas Story. They didn't have the ears on them or the hood. I remember mine were yellow, his were blue. I think I was 12, he was 10, maybe 9. And we had to run to stay alive because we would have froze to death. And it probably was 10 minutes, but it felt like 3 hours. After that, we went right to bed. We didn't fight. We didn't, you know, throw stuff at each other. We didn't, you know, ask for a glass of water. We went to bed because I knew my stepdad meant business. So America's gone because we don't have discipline. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program on Stronghold Radio Network. And please let our friends at Liberty Tree Radio know that we're going to Bible study and that they can rerun this one. Sometimes they don't. I wish they would. I wish they really would run this because the first hour is always a little different. It's a little more personal. I put on more of a show for the second hour because of the listeners. And, you know, I want to have that level of professionalism that Liberty Tree Radio has. But here it's kind of like a campfire. It's you, me, and a fly on the wall. Folks, keep listening. Thank you so much for your support. Pray for us. Send us donations ahead of time so we don't have to sweat when the 15th rolls around. Poor Stacy's blood pressure's up because she's worrying about being able to pay all the bills here. We just paid the electric bill a couple days ago, and it was due at the first of the month. But we do what we can when we can, and we just ask you to do the same. So we'll be back tomorrow with, hopefully, he's got a voice. We'll be back with Practical Christianity in the second hour tomorrow. God bless you and all you do for the holy cause of liberty.